can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Well, good afternoon to all of our listeners. Dave Laskowski here with my wife, Linda, from Viable Options, North Kansas City, Missouri. Actually, we're out in Orrick, Missouri today, lovely Ray County, covered with snow and rain and sleet and all kinds of this side of Armageddon showing up today. Today's show, all about the colon, or Code Brown, or how I met your mother. Because actually, I married my colon therapist. I was a client before we met. And we're going to be talking about the colon. We're going to have some guests today. And it should be a very interesting show. A very interesting quote from a great book by Andrew over at Health Concerns, one of my professional companies that I do business with, Healing Digestive Disorders. Andrew's quote would be, genes may predispose you to a digestive disorder. However, it's your lifestyle that determines whether you will control your digestive disorder or if it's going to control you. Very, very profound. Even though we may have some genetic predispositions to having digestive disorders, whether or not it controls your life is completely up to you. Now, since we are not licensed medical doctors, we do have to tell you that if you think you've got a digestive disorder, that you should probably find a medical doctor that's trained to work on whatever particular issue that you have, and you need to be evaluated. None of the alternative approaches that we're going to discuss today have been approved or evaluated by the FDA and should not be used as a sole basis for evaluating or treating any digestive disorder. So anything you hear on the show today, please feel free to discuss the particulars with your medical doctor. Now, that being said, quite a few common digestive disorders that your colon may be involved with, maybe you've heard some of these before, leaky gut syndrome, ulcers, colitis, Crohn's disease, adhesions, anorexia nervosa, bulimia, appendicitis, bacterial overgrowth, cancer sores, cold sores, cancers, tumors, candidus, chronic constipation, chronic bad breath, diabetic intestinal disorders, diarrhea, diverticulitis, diverticulosis, fecal incontinence, gallstones, gallbladder inflammation, gastritis, gastrointestinal bleeding, hemorrhoids, heartburn, indigestion, acid reflux, hepatitis, and liver disorders, herpes simplex, hiatal hernias, hiccups, HIV-related digestive disorders, intestinal gas, irritable bowel syndrome, lactose intolerance, malabsorption, pancreatitis, parasites, peptic ulcers, rectal itching and burning, swallowing problems, viral and bacterial infections. These are all just to name a few. These are all issues, health-related type issues that have a connection to the colon. So I'm going to turn it over to Linda. She's going to kind of start filling you in, and then we'll have one of our first callers here. Go ahead, Lynn.
Well, everyone knows, well, most people do, that between 70 and 80% of your immune system is in your colon. So it only stands to reason that if your colon is not kept clean, you're going to have one of the aforementioned things that David went through. Everything in your body starts in the colon. They did research 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. They wrote papers on it. It's called Death Begins in the Colon. If your colon is not taking the toxins out of your system on a timely basis, it's going to back up and you're going to have one of these little ailments that David has mentioned. Most of my clients always have constipation. It's because they're not eating the proper foods. And, you know, it can be like you go out and buy a truck, $50,000 truck. It's a diesel truck. You pull into the gas station and you put regular gas in it. You're not going to get very far. The food that you put in your mouth is supposed to be for energy, not take your energy away. That's why it's so important that everyone knows what their blood type is and they eat according to the blood type. Now, I know it's like almost impossible to eat 100%, but the 80-20 rule works for everyone. 80% of the time you put in your mouth what you're supposed to, the 20% that you don't, your body will just slough it off with just a little bit of gas, maybe. What happens is we switch that around and we do the 20% good and the 80% bad, and then we run into all kinds of trouble. Then we have all the emotional stuff on top of it, and we just go on and on and on. So the first defense is always your food. Now, I know some people out there who can't take their lunch every day or don't have time to take their lunch, and they're at the mercy of fast food. Well, if you have to do fast food, take the bun off what you're ordering. If you're ordering a hamburger, take the bun off. If you're ordering chicken, get it grilled. If you're ordering fish, try to eat, drink something hot afterwards to take the grease through your system that you're going to get from having the fish patty, you know, done in grease. Have a salad. Have some fruit. Stay away from the pop. Do the water instead. And always, always, after you have fast food or anything that you shouldn't be eating, always have something hot to drink, because that will melt the grease, literally put it through your system and get it out of your system fast so it doesn't solidify actually like it would in a pan sitting at the back of your stove. So it's just very, very simple stuff, but it makes a big difference. And the other thing that I harp on all the time is probiotics. You have to take your probiotic. Pro means life. You have to put that bacteria, that good bacteria, in your gut constantly. It wouldn't matter if you took it every single hour of every single day. You still wouldn't probably get enough in there to counteract all the crap that we eat. The food that you eat, the air that you breathe, the water that you drink is destroying the probiotic all the time, plus the stress. I remember as a single mom, I could get my stress level up to a Mach 8 before I even got out of bed, listening to two kids screaming at each other about what they're going to do or what they're not going to do, trying to get them out the door for school. So we have stress today that is insurmountable, and that is what gets everything churning in us constantly.
So for our second line of defense being nutritional supplementation, especially probiotics. And for some folks, digestive enzymes are appropriate. A probiotic being Acidophilus. Taking Acidophilus on a daily basis is what you need to do, and there's all different kinds. It comes in a lot of different delivery systems. There are tablets, capsules, comes in a liquid form, powdered form. Each type is for a different situation. There's a liquid and powdered forms tend to work well for children, as well as flavored chewables. You can get blueberry flavored, cherry flavored, just to help get that good bacteria back into the colon. Now, when I'm talking about a delivery system, I'm talking about a specially formulated capsule or a pill so it can get past the stomach acid and get into your colon. That is very, very key. To think for a second that eating yogurt all day long, the yogurt gets into the stomach, and the stomach acid virtually destroys a very large percentage of the good bacteria that is in a good yogurt. So if you want to have an Activia or something like that during the day, yes, perfectly okay. It's a healthy alternative to going to 31 flavors and having an ice cream or a Snickers candy bar or a soda pop or something like that. It is a healthy dessert, but it is a dessert.
You need the specific bacteria, like David said, to get past the stomach area. A lot of people will buy acidophilus, and they complain that it's not working. It's because it only has probably one strain of good bacteria, either bifidus or lactobacillus. You need one with two of those, both of those in it, and more. You can't get too much. I can't say that too often. You can't get too much. And sometimes pearls work fine for people. Most often the capsules work because they dissolve instantly, and you need to do it on an empty stomach. It needs to be the first thing that your gut grabs in the morning and the last thing your gut grabs at night when you go to bed. If you take it with food, you're wasting your money because the food's going to absorb the acidophilus and you're not going to get it. How soon should you start somebody on acidophilus? The moment they come out of the womb. Start putting them on acidophilus. Start colonizing that acidophilus in that tiny little colon, and you're not going to have the colic walking the floors. You're not going to have a baby crying with gas. So, acidophilus. Everyone hear that?
Lots of acidophilus. Well, Seth, I think we may have our first caller.
Today is a client-driven show.
Yes.
So we've got clients calling in with their specific questions, and that's how we're going to do this show on the colon. Questions that sometimes they don't ask while they're on the table, they forget, or questions that have come up and they want answered. So we have them all lined up for you, and we're going to go.
Well, Seth, is Lindsay with us?
Yes, I am. How are you guys?
Hey, how are you, Lindsay?
I have to tell people, Lindsay is my little sweetheart. She is a college student going to school for nursing, and she comes in weekly for her colonics, and she does absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know, in the past, it really wasn't that that way. You know, just letting people know, my junior year of high school, kind of out of nowhere, just started having all these abdominal pains, and it was unexplained. You know, every doctor I went to just said, you know what, eat more fiber and drink more water.
Wow.
Well, being a three-sport athlete my entire life, that wasn't foreign to me. Like, I always drank water. Mm-hmm. I always ate healthy. I've never been a fan of fast food or bad food, so when I said, you know, hey, no, that's not right, I do eat healthy, I do drink water, I do not like pop, I don't even drink it. I think I was kind of brushed off like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
And then what happened? Do you remember the first day we met?
Oh, yeah, I remember the first day vividly. I remember walking out of Viable Options and seeing sunshine pretty much for the first time in years. I know the first time I ever met you guys, I was probably either laying down on the bench in the office, curled up in a ball.
Yeah.
The first time we met, you had just come out of the hospital. You had come down to pick up some pills because I didn't have an opening. And I took one look at you and said, if you can wait just a couple minutes, I'll do you on my lunch hour. And you came back, and I gave you a colonic on our lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you emailed, I think it was Labor Day weekend, you emailed and said, I cannot believe how good I feel. I finally went to the bathroom. And we've just been together since.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
we got your mom and
yeah, all my friends,
my pillow,
all my college friends, and yeah.
Yes.
It's a family thing. Yes, it is.
So, what kind of question you got for us today, Lindsay?
Well, you know, when I came in, I was kind of hearing you guys talking about the blood type diet, and I know that you know that I am AB negative, which is a pretty rare blood type.
Yes.
So it's been really hard for me to kind of find a balance in what I'm eating and how it's going to affect digestion. And, you know, I just didn't know if you had any, like, information for people who may have something like AB blood type or a blood type that can't really handle meat, because I think that is my big problem.
Well, somebody has an AB blood type. That is the newer strain. So there isn't like volumes out there to find out information. However, somebody with an AB blood type will have more tolerances towards either the A blood or the B blood. So for you, Lindsay, with knowing you as well as I do, you tend more towards the A, which is more the vegetables and the fruit and small amounts of protein, being fish or chicken. You get into trouble when you go on your B side and introduce the red meats.
Mm-hmm.
Other people that come in who are AB, they're just the opposite. They do very well with B, small amounts of red meat, no chicken, as opposed to 100% vegetarian. So you, for an AB, you kind of have to do a switch back and forth and see which one makes your gut feel the best.
Yeah, sort of like you, trial and error.
Yep.
Yeah, try and error. If you eat red meat and it really backs you up and you feel really bad afterwards and tired and sluggish, and then red meat's not, you know, not in your balance. You tend to be more on the A side. So
then for somebody that, like yourself, when you're in your athletic mode, it's probably going to be, since you're going to need a lot of protein to help sustain your energy level, it's probably going to be more along the lines of eating more often rather than eating larger meals, mm-hmm. kind of being a muncher so that you can keep your energy level up, because an athlete uses an awful lot of energy, and you can lose a lot of weight. Of course, you have to stay hydrated and all that stuff, but I know when you're in your athletic mode, to keep your energy level up, it's got to be a lot more difficult for somebody like yourself that maybe can't have the red meat and doesn't do as well on it, but mm-hmm. maybe...
But an A gets their energy from plants. So the more vegetables you eat, the heavy vegetables, like the broccolis and the cauliflowers and all that, that will give you the energy that you need. I know... Lindsay's only 21. However, for those listening out there, Lindsay has a near-perfect diet when compared to most 21-year-olds or younger people or even older people. She kind of like blew me away when I first met her, and she started telling me what her life was and everything. And the only problem she had was that she just couldn't go to the bathroom. And so we've worked on that, and she does very well. But as far as from a diet standpoint, I have always been in awe of Lindsay with her ability to stay on fresh and wholesome foods and by choice. And not many 21-year-olds make those choices. So, you know, there are other things like the enzymes and the probiotics. For you, Lindsay, I think with your the way, you know, you work and everything, and the rushing and the school and the stress and all that, probiotics and digestive enzymes, a lot of those, and not eating late at night is key to keep your energy up and the stress down.
Yeah, and you know, that is something that I have noticed. I've never been, like, real bad about eating late at night. I think the only problem I will occasionally run into is waking up at like 2 or 3 in the morning and just being like, oh man, I'm so hungry. Well, just go back to sleep, eat in the morning, fall back asleep, and I'll wake up 30 minutes later because my stomach is growling so hard.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Amazing.
People don't realize that we have two nervous systems. We have a sympathetic nervous system. We have a parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is what gets us through the day. It keeps us alert and burning fat. And so when we eat a huge meal during the day, like, say, at lunch or that infamous Thanksgiving dinner, we throw our system out of the sympathetic nervous system right into the parasympathetic, which is shutting the body down, sleepy, tired, got to go to sleep. So instead of having big meals during the day, we need to save our big meal in the evening, and that is not supposed to be, you know, all out, anything in the refrigerator goes. It's a very low glycemic type meal, but bigger than what we would have at lunch or breakfast. So So we stay alert all day, and we gradually coast out into sleepy time at night. So when you see people coming out of the bars and hitting these, you know, I mean, I used to do it. I'm sure David did, too.
Oh,
after
yeah.
a night of, you know, drinking, we went and had breakfast afterwards. And then, you know, morning came. We were hungover and tired because we just threw our whole system out of whack every which way but loose.
Yep.
I know I did a couple of times.
Yeah. Once or twice.
Yeah. So.
Actually, a total of 3 times, if I remember correctly.
Did we answer your question for you, Linz?
Yeah, you know, I do have one more question now.
Okay.
I mean, kind of got, regarding, like, the enzymes, the probiotics. I mean, I don't know if I've really told you this. I'm just not a huge fan of pill taking. I do it to make myself feel better. You know, I am a big fan of the isatis cooling, the stuff for your colon so that it's, like, you know, cools it or whatever. But, I had a question about, and you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation. I think it's called kombucha tea.
Kombucha tea?
Kombucha tea, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kombucha tea, okay. And, you know, is that like, is that something that people could do maybe instead of taking pills as often or, you know,
well,
is that
you can, you can try it. Kombucha tea is making like a resurgence. I mean, I grew kombucha in the basement 30 years ago. and made you know, my own tea. But kombucha tea is a fermented tea, and it is good for anything from A to Z. And it helps with gallbladder problems, digestive problems. You can see if you can obtain a balance with that. You can also open up your capsules and pour your capsules of PB8s or acidophilus in your kombucha tea, shake it up. There is no flavor to acidophilus. So you can just put it in any cold drink, shake it up, and drink it.
One of the things about kombucha tea is it tends to be pretty energizing. And make sure that you, if you're going to try it, make sure it's a commercially manufactured product, like from a health food store, rather than the homemade stuff, because people have gotten sick on it.
Yeah, don't do the homemade, because 30 years ago it was safe. Now you got people doing stupid stuff, you know. So,
but it can be an immune system booster because it does made from mushrooms, and it can be it's not a magic bullet by any stretch of the imagination. But
it certainly helps with
some
everything.
People do very, very well on it, and you may find that you know if you pick it up instead of a Snapple, say in you know a nice 8-ounce bottle of it. And try, say, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. You may find it extremely refreshing for yourself and very helpful to your digestive system. So it's,
yeah.
it's certainly worth
and
a
you
try.
You know what? I've tried it before. And, you know, I told you that I'm not like a real big pop fan. But occasionally, you know, I'll have a soda just, and I think it's just because of the caffeine. Or maybe like just because I like the feel of like the carbonation. But I've noticed that when I drink that tea, that it's carbonated, or it's not carbonated. It's effervescent. It's
effervescent.
Right.
It tastes like carbonation,
right.
But I know that it's not carbonated.
Yeah, it's just the way it's manufactured, and it's got because it does have some fermentation. Some of the brands have some fermentation to it. It has some natural gas to it, and it may give you a belch or two.
But, you know, in olden days, they didn't have acidophilus or they didn't know about acidophilus. So they did do fermented foods. They did sauerkraut and buttermilk. And they knew that they had to get that fermentation down there to grow the good bacteria to move this stuff out of their system. So the green tea, the kombucha is a fermented tea. So it's going to act kind of like a probiotic in a certain way. It's going to help balance the system out. It's going to help bring that acid alkaline ratio in your gut where it needs to be so nothing bad can grow in the body. So
worth a try. Absolutely. Have some fun with it.
Thank you very much, Lindsay.
You
go to work and have a good night.
Great.
You
Thank
do.
You very much. We'll talk soon. All righty.
People have to remember that you have a balance in your colon, and your colon has to be between 7.35 and 7.45. So nothing bad can grow in your body. And when I say nothing bad, we're talking yeast, tumors, lupus, diabetes, anything that is foreign or against health in your body. Most people coming into our office are down in the 4, 5, and 6 range in their acid. And how you can test your acid is you can go to any health food store. You can buy, they're called pH balance strips. On the back is a color coding. What you do is you take a strip. You can either lick the strip or you can pee on the strip. It takes 10 to 12 seconds, and you just, it's user-friendly. You can just match the color on the back of the package, and it will tell you at that moment where your level is. Now, that changes with every meal that you eat, because if you're going to eat hamburger, french fries, and a Coke, you're going to get a high acid reading. The lower the reading, the higher the acid. The higher the reading, the more alkaline. And a little known fact that we have said before, but I'm going to say it again, is when someone does get cancer, diabetes, any illness like that, most people, if they can hire a nutritionalist or stars from Hollywood, they always go to pure juicing. Juicing, 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 because that is the fastest way to alkaline your body. If you can get your body up until the high 7s or the 8s, you will eat your own cancer.
Now, you have to remember that when you go to the health food store and you go to the drugstore and you get your alkatosis or your alkaline strips, it's not a laboratory test by any stretch of the imagination. But as you're going and having the and doing the readings on a regular basis, say morning, midday, in the evening, before you go to bed, and you start logging this and keeping a journal of where the numbers are at, then you've got to look at where do you feel the best. If I feel the best at a certain number or a certain color on the strip, what have I been doing to maintain that? What has my diet been? Because the way we've been designed, if you understand, we have light, we have dark, we have wet, we have dry, we have cold, we have warm. The universe loves balance. It always loves the middle ground. So if we keep ourselves and our foods and our attitude and our stress level, if we work very, very hard to keep ourselves on an even keel, kind of the middle ground, just the way the universe is designed, everything seems to flow in a nice forward direction. It's whenever that we're at an extreme, if we're very, very acidic on the inside, that's bacteria loves that. Yeast loves that. Viruses love that. When we go more alkaline, we don't have those things going on in our body. So,
however, if you stay alkaline too long, you have trouble digesting your food. So it's got to be a love affair in there. It's got to be acid-alkaline back and forth. You have to have enough acid to digest your food. You have to have enough alkaline to keep health in your system.
Well, we think we have our second guest. Seth, is Karen with us?
Hello. Hello, hello. Seth? Karen? Somebody?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Are you with Verizon?
No. I know.
Can you hear me now, Karen?
I can hear you now. How are you
doing? All right. Hi, Karen. How's Karen?
Karen is good.
Good, good. What's going on, Karen?
Nothing much. I did have a question similar to your last caller, more about eating for your blood type.
Okay.
But I have come to you for probably 3 or 4 years, and I love it, and I've noticed the good effects. I have better skin, and things are definitely flowing easier now.
Yes. No pun intended.
But my question is, I am an O blood type, mm-hmm. and I have the book, and I was reading it, and it recommends that I should be a meat eater. I'm not actually a big fan of being a meat eater. I could probably live my life being a vegetarian. However, that doesn't seem to work for me the way I feel. Do you have any recommendations about what I could do? I mean, I know I probably need to eat meat, but just, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, people get confused when they say that they have to be a meat eater. They think that just means red meat. It means any kind of protein. So do you like chicken, turkey, fish?
I do, but I really could live
without
any of it. But
okay.
It doesn't seem to work for me. When I do try to live, you know, a vegetarian lifestyle, it's uncomfortable, unfortunately.
Yeah. I know when we're here sometimes at night and I've got a bunch of vegetables and there's meat and everything, I am a meat eater because I'm an O also, but I get lost in the vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep eating the vegetables, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I didn't have any meat. And then I'll have a piece of meat. But so I understand what you mean.
One method of madness is that I don't always eat a lot of red meat, but I do like it, and it doesn't seem to bother me that much. But when I've gone through the Eat Right for Your Blood Type O diet book from Dr. Diadamo, if I really push the vegetables that are good for me, they tend to fill me right up, and I will minimize the amount of meat. So it's not that you have to have the meat, and maybe once or twice a week would be fine, or even once a week. But if you really emphasize the vegetables that he has in his paperback book there for the O-type that are either good or neutral for you, you could just about be a vegetarian and still get ahead of the game.
And get by with just small amounts of meat. He's not talking. No one needs 32 ounces of steak. People need 2 to 4 ounces of protein a couple times a week. So even beans to an O is their protein. So you take the beans in that are high beneficial for you, and there you substitute your meat. And so we just, old people just need animal protein for our energy and to make sure our muscles stay strong and everything. But it doesn't have to be a daily 10, 15, 20, 30 ounces a day type thing. Once or twice a week, a couple ounces, and you're fine.
Yeah, that might be a plan for you.
Does that help?
Well, the one thing about, like, I do love vegetables. However, if I eat too many of them, and this might be where probiotics come in,
yeah.
It's like I said, it's uncomfortable, and I really almost start to hurt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If I,
a lot of fiber. It's an awful lot of fiber to be taking
yes.
in.
Yes. If I did stick to probiotics, do you think that would kind of counter
yes. sometimes you have
the pain?
Sometimes you have to saturate your system with the probiotics.
Or a digestive enzyme.
Or a digestive enzyme. And saturate, sometimes we front-load people with 2 or 3 acidophilus every hour for a whole day. And then 2 in the morning and 2 at night. And that seems to get them over that big hump. So I know some of the issues that you've had, and acidophilus would probably do very well if you increased it.
Okay.
And,
do you think
and
that
maybe,
would help with milk as well? Because I have a problem when I drink. It's milk and fruit and vegetables, basically. I love all three, but all three do not love me.
Okay, milk, nobody should be drinking milk. And, you're lactose intolerant.
Yes.
So you can switch to rice milk or you can switch to almond milk. But cow's milk, no.
A little hard to process that.
When I turned 30. It's almost like overnight. It just was impossible to drink
yep.
it anymore.
Absolutely. We did.
But I like
find,
it, and I like ice cream.
Oh yeah, I love that. That's probably my favorite thing. And we found as a family that we're fortunate that the three of us here at home are all O type. So what we did is we got a bottle of Dr. Diadamo's Deflect. We use the probiotic for an O-type. We use the 4 products, the digestive enzyme, that's for an O. And after a couple of days, we noticed that we were processing our foods much easier. And we had a little less gas. We weren't as tired after we had maybe something that wasn't exactly an O-type. So
you might want to go to our website, and then click into Dr. Diadamo's. And look at the Deflect. What happens when we eat stuff that we shouldn't be eating, like for our blood type, we produce lectins, and those lectins eat at our small intestine and create gas and bloat and everything
pretty
else.
Pretty much inflammation in the
inflammation.
Body.
So the Deflect, which Dr. D'Adamo has devised for each blood type, stops that process from happening. And so when we have something that we know we're not supposed to be eating or we're going to get gassy,
or
we always take a couple of the Deflect.
Actually, we take it even if we're having a straight O diet.
Yeah,
and
it helps.
It does help us with that plus the probiotics. And that way you're not taking a whole fistful of pills, just a couple of capsules with a meal. And we seem to get a lot of relief from that. So that may just very well be a puzzle piece for you.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen.
Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Dr. D'Adamo has pretty much, after 40-plus years of research, has figured out a lot of helpful nutritional supplements that are geared specifically for each blood type. And his diet recommendations are quite extensive. You could virtually, for $6 or so, pick up the book from our website and walk through a supermarket or walk through any food store or take it with you to a restaurant, and it'll tell you what's good for you, what's almost like medicine for you food-wise, what's neutral, and what works against you. And it's not as restrictive a diet as you would think. It's quite open-minded, and we've been utilizing it as a family for 20-plus years because we're all O's here. And it makes life very, very easy. He has some very, very specific nutritional supplements for each particular blood type. That could be very, very helpful. If you go to viableoptions.com, www.viableoptions, viableoptions.com, click on the Eat Right for Your Blood Type link. It'll take you right to Dr. D'Adamo's website. You can wander around there and have a look at all the different nutritional supplements that are blood type specific. If you have any questions about any particular one or anything, any further information, you can always email me at our office at viableoptions@sbcglobal.net, or you can contact us right off of our website. There's a contact link that'll put an email right to us, and we can answer any questions that you may have. Well, let's see. I think we have another caller. Is Linda with us?
I'm right here.
The other Linda.
not yet. I'm still trying to reach her.
Okay. That's okay, Seth. Thank you very much.
Well, what's interesting, like I said, we're O's, and I have always had such a dislike for strawberries. I don't like the smell of strawberries. I don't even get me near a strawberry. I picked this book up some 20-odd years ago. Right on there, avoid is strawberries. Same thing with avocados. I could care less if another avocado grew in this world. Same thing with avocado, avoid. So if you pay attention to your children, most often kids will turn up their nose at stuff. Don't force it on them because their little bodies know instinctively that that's not what I want. Yeah. Especially little ones with meat. I can't tell you how many clients I have right now as grown-ups who are A blood type that their whole life they were forced to eat meat. They hate it. They couldn't stand it. Their guts are tore up, and now they're in their 30s and 40s, and they're straightening out all the damage that was done from the beginning because they're an A or an AB.
Yeah, if you look at the old food pyramid from, when you were back in elementary school and as we were growing up, you know, what the federal government thinks that everybody should eat has got nothing to do with what we're talking about here. Every one of us is an individual, and Dr. D'Adamo's research, which is backed up by countless papers, countless research, countless double-blind studies, all kinds of information that backs us all up, laboratory work, hospital work, things of that nature, we're not all the same. each one of us is an individual. Each one of us is immortal. We've always been, we always will be. And if you look at your blood type and start doing a little bit of investigating, a general way of looking at it would be a blood type O is genetically from the cold northern climate of Europe.
Oh, so, we're the heathens. We're the cavemen.
We're the cave people, and we're meat eaters. So basically, we do reasonably well with a small amount of meat in our diet. If you think of the A and the B and the AB, you're looking at a Mediterranean strain of blood. So if you think of Greek food, Italian food, one of my favorite things is Italian food, or as we say in Missouri, Italian food. If I have an Italian pasta meal or a pizza that isn't made correctly, let's say if I go to a commercial Pizza Hut or something like that and have that kind of a food, within 20 minutes I want to go right to sleep, because an O has a very difficult time processing that type of food. But if I have a hamburger with a small salad, some green beans, some broccoli, with some walnuts and maybe just a touch of dressing on it, salad dressing, I can eat meals like that from now till doomsday. I can have a steak. If I cut back on the breads and the carbs and things of that nature, like potatoes, I do very, very well. O's do well when they eat mostly high protein and specific carbs. A's and B's and AB's, if they have more, little bit of chicken, little bit of fish, lots of salads and fruits and specific vegetables that are for their blood type, they do extremely well. So trying to shove us all into one mold is not going to fly, not at all.
Now, we've been talking food and probiotics and more food and what to eat and what not to eat, and there's always feelings, you know, those pesky little emotional things that are unresolved that gets stored in certain areas of our system. And our colon, no matter what we've got going on in our colon, whether it's Crohn's, colitis, IBS, whatever, all starts with the unresolved emotions of, believe it or not, hate and anger. And when we don't get our feelings out, we stuff those feelings. Sometimes they get stuffed into the heart, sometimes into the lungs, sometimes into the liver. Each organ in our body handles a different response or emotion. The liver handles anger, rage, and resentment. The lungs handle sadness and grief. The heart is all about love. The colon is all about hate. And when those feelings are unresolved, untalked about, and left to fester for years and years and years, then they're stuffed down in there, and they just bubble up. So we either go to the bathroom all the time, or we can't go at all. If we're not going at all, it seems that when I get someone on the table, and a lot of my clients know this now, so the rule is you wait till I get you hooked up, and then you start talking. They'll just talk out anything that is upsetting going on in their life. And they virtually watch the impacted fecal matter just pour out of their system. And it never changes. It really doesn't. If I get somebody on the table and I can't move them, nothing is happening. And then I start saying to them, what's going on? What's happening? What is wrong? They start talking. Sometimes they've had a fight with their wife, their husband, their kids, their boss. Something's happening at work. They're getting a divorce. They're doing this. They're doing that. You know, whatever. Once they start talking, and if it's a very private, personal thing, I ask them, just talk it over in your mind, to yourself, if you don't want me to hear. But talk it over, get these feelings up, bring them up so your body can release. This is a kind of an interesting thing that people don't realize, that when someone is taking care of somebody and they're going to die, and it's a very hard thing, very emotional thing, the person that's doing the taking care of seems never to get sick. And then when the person eventually passes, the other person all of a sudden gets sick. And they think, oh, my God, what happened? Well, the body will go through a natural cleansing. And that natural cleansing is a complete sadness, grief, anger, and they'll go through all the steps of letting this person go. And with it, they'll go through a lot of upset. Their tummy will be upset. Their guts will be upset. And they'll just keep going until they flush this out of their system.
Yeah, when a person has a traumatic event in their life, as we were talking about at our last show with Lyme's disease, if you have a traumatic event in your life, you've got the seven stages. You have to honor all the different stages. There's the anger. There's the shoulda, woulda, coulda. There's the upset. There's also when you've gone through the physical or the mental, emotional aspects of a trauma in your life, then you have the physical ones. Because to think for a second that it's only in your mind or it's only in your heart, it's not, because every organ in the body has to honor and release whatever energy that it's been holding. Because quite often you'll hear about, Grandpa died. Grandpa passed away, and then a month later, Grandma passes away out of grief because they didn't necessarily honor all the feelings that they went through. Or I remember growing up that my mother was still upset at a sister-in-law of hers for a shower gift from 60 years ago. People carrying grief and upset and anger and turmoil for 50, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, their entire lives, they're carrying upset around, and it's going to end up in your colon. It will always end up in your colon. It will always end up in your liver. It will always end up in your heart. So when disease shows up, dis-ease, which is the dysfunction because you've captured an emotion in an organ in the body so it doesn't operate properly the way God intended it, then over time you end up with a health problem. Nobody wakes up a diabetic. Nobody wakes up with cancer. Nobody wakes up with heart disease. It doesn't happen that way. It's always over time. Seth, were we able to get a hold of Linda?
No, I have the wrong number for Linda.
Okay, that was the 1931?
That's it. That's the Boston fax machine.
Okay, well, not a problem. Oh, well.
Well, I guess you're just going to have to listen to us talk.
Yeah, which is perfectly okay. Linda, okay. What are some of the emotions that are held in the colon? What is the feelings buried alive when a person's constipated, let's say, for example, or they have diarrhea, one or the other, one extreme
well,
or the other.
Let me explain diarrhea. Diarrhea is constipation. I know this always confuses people when we tell people this. Constipation, diarrhea is a form of constipation which the body has something in there that needs to get out. It needs to get out now. So it pulls all the fluid from the entire system, puts it into the colon, and shoots this rotten fecal stuff out as fast as possible. And then you stop going to the bathroom. So people come in and go, oh, I have diarrhea, and then I have constipation. Well, no, you have constipation. There's no other explanation. That's it. You're constipated. So usually when I get people in and I start talking to them, people who are constipated, they're constantly fretting. They can't release old feelings and beliefs. And like David said, and we saw it last night on TV, there was a program on where these people had an upset 70 years ago, or, I mean, 60 years ago or whatever. Anyways, they're in their late 80s right now talking about it in the show. They were crying as hard as they would have cried 60 years ago. So they have kept this all this life without resolving any of it. They've never had closure on it. It's so important to have closure on everything. You don't start a new relationship unless you close the old one. You watch these stars do it all the time. We just read Kelsey Grammer. He got divorced last Wednesday. He's married today. There's no closure there. There is just sliding right into another mess, but that's yet another, you know. So there is always a flow to life. Life flows. It's got the ebbs and the tides, just like the moon. So when we don't flow with life, when we try to force life, when we think we know better and this has got to happen today, when if it was just left alone, it would happen maybe tomorrow or the next day. So when we're pushing life constantly, then we're going to ball ourselves up, and we're not going to digest the food. We're not going to relax the muscles. Everything's going to constipate.
So it's pretty interesting how, if you think about the emotional aspect of life, then the feelings about life, one is your mind and one is your heart, and then your physical reaction to what's going on a daily basis. None of us, we love Stuart Wilde's, if you're listening out there, Stewie, thank you very much. It is what it is, and I accept that. How often can you have something going on in your life? This is a good test for our listeners today. If you've got some kind of an upset going on in your life, can you let go of it? Can you honestly and truly say, it is what it is, and I accept that?
Now, let me back David up on this just one second. If you are truly angry about something, honor that anger. That is a true emotion that needs
Absolutely.
To be honored. It is when you carry that anger for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yep.
If somebody has really done something and they need your anger, then they need it. Then it's done and over with, and we go on. But when you don't say those words, if we just say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, and we stuff it,
yeah.
Then pretty soon that little bag is stuffed to overflowing, and one day you get up, and it's like a woman getting up going, you know, yesterday her hair did exactly what she wanted, but today you got to get a haircut. It's the day you got to let go of all this stuff. You can't be pulling a 747 from behind you and expect to make it up that mountain.
There is always a way, whether you go find a counselor, you have a direct confrontation with the individual. If you go find your pastor, you
write a letter. Don't mail it.
You know, yeah, set it on fire. I'll burn it. We've written hundreds of letters, and we've sent quite a few, and we've sent quite a few letters over the years to family members and friends and people that acquaintances that we knew that we had some upset with, and to this day we're still waiting for a response. And sometimes it has to be just the fact that you want to make the effort, because you can't force other people to change. You can't make anybody else. We've all got a free will. We can all make our own decisions. So when it comes to what you put in your mouth and what kind of nutritional supplements that you're going to take and what kind of life that you're going to live, your sense of well-being on a daily basis, you have all the choices. I mean, as long as we've got a constitution in this country and you've got freedom of speech and you're able to take nutritional supplements and you're able to choose the foods that you eat, we do understand. It doesn't mean that you've got to go to all organic. It can be very, very expensive. But if you start out simply, if you change your life around to where you're drinking a little bit more water, you're drinking less soda pop, you're drinking less alcohol, you're cutting back on your caffeine intake, you're eating more vegetables, if you make small steps on a daily basis and start working on resolving the emotional issues that are going on in your life and stop letting your mind drive the bus, because your mind is nothing but a computer. That computer will do shoulda, woulda, coulda, will think you to death.
Yep.
And make
you
nuts.
Think with your heart.
Absolutely.
Discharge your stress. Think with your heart. Your heart will never get you in trouble. Your head always will. When I go full force with what's going on in my head, I get in trouble all the time.
Absolutely.
But if I stay quiet, even for a couple of days, and I listen to what my heart is telling me, It may not always be exactly what I had in mind, but it works out every single time.
Absolutely. And we've got lots of helpers out there. We've got God inside of us, in each and every one of us, that we have the power and the authority to command things to happen. We have God's gladiators that are out there on the other side. We have all of our ancestors. We have all those that have come before us that we can call on for
and
help.
And call on them. I do all the time.
Yeah.
I tell them, get your butts down here and start working on this problem.
Absolutely.
I'm too cute to have all these wrinkles. You know, you can stand the wrinkles, not me. Get down here. Work on it.
Yeah.
And they do. Just like that.
It does come with time. It does take patience. It does take patience and perseverance.
I have the, I guess, the thrill. I get to drive in to work with David in the morning, and sometimes the drive in can get pretty heated.
Yep.
I'm yelling and screaming, and not at him, but just about things. And I'm calling them in, going, "You guys better be here by the time I get to North Kansas City, because we need to talk."
That's right.
And so we work it out.
Usually
so,
we get it all resolved by the time we get to Missouri City on 210. So.
Yep. Discharge your stress.
Absolutely.
Relax that colon.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us today.
And I'm sorry, Linda. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Well, we had a phone number glitch and things like that happened. But our website for Viable Options is viableoptions.com. We're located in North Kansas City. And we appreciate you listening today, and we thank all of our callers today.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, Karen, and thank you, Linda.
And thank you, Seth, for having our back.
You're the man, Seth.
You're the man. Take us out. Thank you.
To steal the power.